This morning we will continue to be in 1 Timothy. We make it a regular habit to pick a book of the Bible and spend time there, and it's always bittersweet when we come to the end. We've had so much fun, but it's sweet in that we will be able to see this letter wrapped up this morning. But as we oftentimes do, as we come into the time of God's preached word, we're just going to prepare our hearts. So would you just take a few moments and to yourself, just pray and ask that the Lord would move as he sees fit in your life this morning. So would you do that, and then I'll pray for us. Father, in the stillness of this moment of the building making noises, I trust that you are already working and moving in our hearts. Father, stronger, bigger, better, they're simple words, but yet, Father, they are so true this morning. Father, they are words that we cling to when we consider our week, we consider the things that we're up against, when we consider all the difficulty and hard times and frustration and all of the joys. We are mindful this morning that you are a God who is far greater than our imagination can even comprehend. Father, we come mindful this morning that your grace and your mercy is present every day when we don't even sense it or know it, but yet you are present. So, Father, we come depending on you this morning, asking that you would see fit to work in our hearts in such a way that we'd walk out encouraged, changed, convicted, whatever it is that you need to do, would you do that? Spirit, would you work? We adore you, our Father, and we are thankful for your Son, and we anticipate the Spirit's work this morning. Would you move? You know what is best for us. So would you take these two last verses and work in our hearts this morning? Father, we, as we often do, are thankful that many churches across the valley are opening up your word and letting it have authority, letting it speak to the hearts of those people listening. And we are very thankful for Church on Mill in Tempe in the downtown area that you would use Pastor Chuck Newkirk this morning in significant ways. Father, I pray that he would move out of the way and unpack scripture in such a way that others would respond in faith and repentance and trust and perhaps even with joy this morning. So, Father, we ask that you would come now and that you would speak to us. You would change and shape and form us this morning more into your image. Thank you for what you've already done through this glorious little book of 1 Timothy. We pray that you would continue to work this morning. It is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to deal with the last two verses. And to be fair, Logan last week could have included in these verses. But I thought it wise, as we spend many, many months before we get to a book, prepping and getting ready for that as a church family, it just felt wise that we would camp out here on these last two verses and just watch how Paul is encouraging Timothy here at the end and in the end encouraging us. So we're going to read verses 20 through 21. They'll be up on the screen. You can dial that up on your electronic communication device, but no checking emails as always. Stay focused. And so you can look that up, but we'll be in chapter 6, verse 20. Paul is ending the letter to Timothy this way. He says, "O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you." Have you ever had the responsibility to take a deposit to the bank? You know, you get handed that very unprotected bag. I don't really know what that's going to do, but you get handed that very unprotected bag. But inside of it is content that you have to get somewhere, and that content is precious. If you ever had that responsibility, you know the moment you put the deposit in your hand, you kind of get the impression that you better be careful with it, right? If it sits in the side of your seat in your car and you're driving to the bank, you're still there. You just get the impression that there's something that you have been given that you better be careful with, especially if it's been entrusted to you by another person who perhaps maybe you respect, or if you're doing it on behalf of a group of people. It feels really significant. And you know that dusty, unprotected bag isn't going to do anything, so you better keep your eye on it. You see, that's the feeling that Paul ends his letter to Timothy with. Notice the sense of urgency, the solemnness, if you will, that he addresses Timothy with. He says, "Oh, Timothy." Now, we don't speak that way very often. We don't address each other, "Oh, so-and-so." But we get the point, right? That Paul is looking Timothy in the eyes with all sincerity, with deep emotion, and he finishes his letter to him with this incredible clarity. You know, this clarity comes in a positive statement, guard the deposit. Then it comes in a negative statement, avoid irreverent babble. Could be translated pointless chatter, controversies, contradictions. This is what he ends his letter with. "Oh, Timothy. Timothy, look at me." And he begins with this phrase, "Guard the deposit." Now, this phrase, "guard the deposit," would not have been really odd to Timothy or to the church there in Ephesus, because that's where Timothy's at, right? It was a common phrase to indicate that there's a high level of trust being given to another person, that they were now obligated to keep safe someone's treasured possession. Timothy, and in turn the church, has been given tremendous trust to oversee and keep safe something of incredible value, something that is precious. But what is it? What is this deposit? What has been given to him? What has been entrusted to him? What is the content of this deposit that Timothy has been entrusted with? If we were to peek inside the deposit bag, what do we find? Now, there are a lot of things, as we have spent many weeks looking at this tremendous book. There are many things that have been given or entrusted to Timothy throughout this entire letter. You remember he was given a calling into ministry. He's been entrusted to teach, and not only teach, but to teach authoritatively. And he's to use that authority to teach against false teachers. In 2 Timothy, the second letter that he writes to Timothy, in that letter we see the same phrase. But what we learn in 2 Timothy is that he, Timothy, is to entrust what he has been given. Hey, that deposit, you need to give that to someone else. We learn in 2 Timothy that the content of the deposit is sound words that he's heard from Paul. Take those sound words, take that sound teaching, take that deposit you've been entrusted with, and give it to others who will also entrust those sound words, those teachings, to others. So there are several things that have been dumped into Timothy's deposit bag, if you will. But we can actually be pretty precise here to what the deposit is that he is to guard. If we open it up, the deposit bag, this really awesome unprotected bag, if we're to open up that bag and take a peek inside, you know what we find? We find the gospel in all of its teachings. The deposit Timothy holds in his hands is all that makes up the Christian faith, which is sound teaching that leads to whom? Jesus. I mean, that's actually what Paul says in the letter. In chapter 1, verse 8, he says that the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, here's Paul being quite wordy, but he really respects, he said, this gospel that is glorious, that comes from God, and he says, with which I have been entrusted. You see, brothers and sisters, those visiting with us, Timothy has a spiritual heritage that has been passed down that he is to watch over. it's sound teaching in accordance with Jesus, to borrow phrases from 1 Timothy. It's the good news of salvation that is in Christ alone. You know what a deposit is? You know what it is? And we all read it together as a church family. It's that trustworthy saying. We've seen quite a few of them in 1 Timothy. But if there's a great summary of what we peek into and we see in that deposit bag, it's chapter 1, verse 15. The trustworthy saying that's worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Which Paul adds, of whom I am the foremost. More on that in a moment. Guard the deposit. Guard the gospel in all of its teaching to be so precise and clear this morning. The context of 1 Timothy and all the uses of this type of language point to the gospel in all of its teachings. Timothy is instructed to guard that deposit. What does it mean to guard it? Well, it means that you hold something in close custody. Custody. There's the word, custody. I'm from Tennessee, so I do the best I can, okay? Hold it close. It also can mean that you protect by taking careful measures, even being strategic in what you're doing with it, being thoughtful and taking specific measures to be sure that the contents, that this deposit that is of utmost worth and value is indeed protected. Take careful measures. Be watchful in how you handle it. Even though it be only a few inches away from you and you're driving down the road and you keep checking on it, it couldn't have possibly went anywhere, but you feel a sense to watch and to protect. Timothy's told to be watchful. Be careful in how you handle it. Don't let others take it away. Don't let others distract from it. If we were to look at 1 Timothy in and of itself, it seems that guard is been practiced in this letter two ways. One, correct false teaching that detracts from Christ Jesus. And secondly, perhaps one you don't want to hear, it seems that Timothy has given himself to this task of guarding the deposit by this second way, correcting bad behavior in the church that detracts from Christ Jesus. This seems to be the most predominant focus of this book. We actually see immediately in, when we began studying 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, we see it instantly that he is to correct false teaching. This must mean this is how he guards the gospel. He's told in 1 Timothy verses 3 through 7, chapter 1, remain at Ephesus so that you, Timothy, may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine or counterfeit doctrine, if you will. This is how he will guard the deposit. Make sure that the content of any teaching in the church is fitting, that it is not different than what was given to him to watch over, which was given to others and the church. Now, these false teachers have been a source of difficulty for Timothy, a source of frustration for the church, and ultimately, and unfortunately, a distraction for the church. Why is that? Because they have not been guarding the deposits, the gospel, but rather they have been given to endless genealogies we learn in chapter 1. Worthless babble, if you will, as we are seeing this morning. So one of the ways that Timothy is going to guard the deposit, it means for him to watch the teaching of the church. I mean, matter of fact, there are so many instructions that Timothy has given throughout the letter. Instruct, charge, teach, urge, all of that directed towards the church to follow what? Sound teaching that points to Jesus. This is what Timothy has given himself to guard. To first acknowledge that it's precious and then to watch over it. But there's a second way that has been, I don't know about you, but has been a bit surprising to me, that we have seen over and over again that Timothy has given himself to. So I make it a regular habit as I'm going to preach through a book is that I'll read it a bunch and then I'll listen to it a bunch. And I remember the first time that I listened through 1 Timothy, I caught this point that he is correcting a lot of bad behavior, calling the church to godliness. This seems to be a second way that Timothy is going to guard, is by correcting bad behavior because it detracts from Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, that is actually the purpose of 1 Timothy. Remember when we got to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, what does Paul say? This is great when you're studying a book, when you get the purpose statement. That's a good deal. Paul makes it very plain. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things. Okay, thanks, Paul. I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. There is so much content in this little letter that gives lots of instructions on how we ought to behave. Because when the gospel takes root in a people, it changes them. It radically changes and rearranges their life. So Paul gives lots of instructions of how they ought to behave as God's people, how they put on display the effects of the gospel upon their lives. Last week, Logan did an incredible job as we were wrapping up this letter of pointing us towards a life that in joy lives out the gospel. Let me encourage you to go back and check that out. We simply, brothers and sisters, those visiting with us, we cannot neglect the reality that our lives put on display the gospel. Are sad enough, not the gospel. We simply cannot neglect it. As much as you don't want to think about it, as much as I don't want to think about it, my life puts on display the contents of that deposit bag. It reveals the influence and effects it has on a people. You know the word used over and over again? Let's just revisit it one more time as we wrap up 1 Timothy. The one word that is repeated most often, godliness. A devotion to God that shows up in various ways in our lives that Logan did so well last week. We've seen it in the book of 1 Timothy by the way we care for others, particularly widows, the way that we pursue godliness. We see it in the way of our obedience to the truth of God. We see it in our deep affections for the things of God. We cannot skirt around the issue. That guard the deposit means that we guard our behaviors, that we watch over them and we notice areas that lack reflection to God. Newsflash, none of us in this room are perfect. Is that news to you? We're not. But it doesn't stop the rigor of watching our lives, noticing areas and tendencies in our life. That this deposit has radically changed us, and where does it need to continue to change us? Timothy is told to guard the deposit, the gospel and all of its teachings, by watching what is taught. He does so much so that Paul tells him to structure the church in such a way that men are called out to watch and guard that. Hence our desire to move to a plurality of elders. But guarding deposit certainly means watching what is taught. Brothers and sisters, it also means behaving like Christians. Why? Because the deposit, the gospel, is more precious than anything this world has to offer. The deposit, what is inside the deposit bag that is priceless, is the gospel and all of its teaching. All of his glorious teachings. Notice that is what is most important. That is what we should have our attention on day in and day out. So perhaps it's wise for me to ask you, what's in your deposit bag? What are you so rigorously guarding at all costs? Now, I can hear some of you saying, oh, Pastor, how can you ask me that? This is addressed to Timothy. You even said it, oh, Timothy. This isn't me. Well, might I point your attention to the last statement of this letter? Grace be with you. Now, if this letter was written in my native tongue of Southern, it would say, grace be with y'all. Second person plural, we fixed it. The whole world needs to just get on board, okay? You see, this letter, whether you've missed it over the last several weeks, let me be clear, this letter was meant to flow from Timothy to the church. So I ask again, what's in your deposit bag? What's in your wallet, if you like that phrase? What am I asking? What are you protecting at all costs? Because you're guarding something. Is it money only? Is it a personal hobby horse that you just got to get on? Is it recognition? Is it the big payout one day? Oh, it all gets so much better then. Is it the achievements that you have achieved over the years? Is it the accolades that you cling to and guard? Is it a well-groomed family, mom and dad? Is it a big savings account? Is it pleasure? Is it beauty? Is it intellect? If these things exist in your bag, dump it. Just dump it out. But I've got really good news. Fill it with the gospel promises that you are a child of God, that you have been redeemed, that you are loved by God the Father. You see, that deposit, those truths, well, they have a tremendous return in your life, don't they? Dump all the other stuff and put the gospel and all the glorious truths of Jesus in that bag. Because their return is far greater than anything else in this world. Because you know as well as I do, when our most prized possession is Christ Jesus, it radically rearranges our behaviors. But I want to be clear this morning, it begins and ends with Him. Not more willpower on your part. You got it, come on. No, it begins and ends with Him. That's why it's so precious. Because the gospel is where we find that our lives will be radically changed. Where the greatest joy is. You see, it's not by doing better, working harder, but rather it comes by greater dependence and trust in the gospel promises. But I want you to notice something as well, that the guarding comes to us, the church. It doesn't come to those who could care less about it. You see, the challenge to guard the deposit is to us who proclaim belief in that gospel. We are to protect, but not only by what we say we believe, but how we behave. I can't stress it enough. What you do as a professing believer directly connects to what others see about the effects of the gospel. Even how you talk about the gospel with others. Even how you proclaim the gospel should be done in such a way that you're guarding the gospel. Why do I say that? Well, remember when Paul said back in chapter 1, right after he has told Timothy to, I charge those who are speaking, strong emphasis, go stop the false teachers. But then Paul has this incredible statement. He says this. You can go back and look at it. Chapter 1. The aim of our charge is love. That issues from a pure heart. And we talked about why that's so significant. A good conscience and a sincere faith. It seems like love is in the control room even as we talk about the gospel truths. You see, Paul, the Bible, it actually cares of how we go about guarding the gospel. Isn't that fascinating? It actually cares in how we go about doing this guarding of the gospel. We guard the gospel by proclaiming out of love, not to pick a fight, but to come with such winsome clarity about the truths of Scripture. If you've stumbled into our midst this morning and a non-believer, this is a really great day to be here. I'm grateful for you being here. Because you know the same question applies to you. What's in your deposit bag? What are you banking on to save your life? What are you afraid of in making the gospel the most important thing, non-believer and Christian alike? Can those other things really bring any greater joy in your life than Christ himself? Can they really? Church, there is nothing else we have that is more precious than the gospel and all of its teachings. We hold those truths very tight and very firm, and we count them as the most valuable thing in our life together. And we take careful measures. Well, now that the deposit is sound and it's filled with the gospel and its promises, there's a second thing that Timothy's told to do: avoid. Here comes the negative. Hey, guard the deposit. You got this beautiful, precious thing. Now I need you to avoid. So the second thing that Timothy is encouraged to do is avoid certain things. Now, these things that he are to avoid are evident within the false teachers. Irreverent babble and controversies or contradictions. Now, you may be saying, well, what are those things? Well, we've seen them on display throughout the whole entire letter, but actually chapter one again, see some bookends developing here, chapter one and a return at the end. We see actually all of this babble and pointless chatter and controversies most clearly defined in chapter one. Here's what it says by way of reminder. The scriptures will be on the screen. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths, endless genealogies. And for us, it's like sounds really boring. Really, myths, endless genealogies? Which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge, there it is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Apparently, they're taking these endless genealogies and creating certain things that are just useless. Their irreverent babble is pointless, worthless, leading to nothing. And actually, it does lead to something, actually, ungodliness. That's what Paul is going to go on to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:16. He says, all of this, it leads to ungodliness. So they, the false teachers, who are to be avoided, they have given themselves over to worthless, pointless talk. If you want to be really clear of what this talk is, it is devoid of any real significance. Because guess what? It's not the deposit. It's not the deposit. So it is devoid of any real significance. It's not the thing of greatest worth. So it doesn't work. It only creates greater ungodliness. Their teaching has not been guarded. They have not considered what's in their deposit bag. So what comes out in their life and teaching is a different doctrine that leads to ungodliness. So Paul just reminds Timothy once again, avoid it. The faithful Timothy gets this charge. The one who has given himself to go there and be about this work. Paul looks at him, faithful Timothy, and says, hey, I need you to avoid it. Because brothers and sisters, you need to understand, perhaps even the best intentioned teacher can easily slide into careless teaching, to pick up worthless controversies of no significance, but yet call it knowledge. Isn't that fascinating? They, the false teachers, when they head to the bank of godliness to make a deposit of knowledge to build up their godly accounts, come to find out their deposit bag is nothing but counterfeit bills parading around as real. Because once the counterfeit bill, knowledge, is held up to the light of truth, Christ Jesus, it's very clear that it's not real. You ever taken that crisp 100th put up in a light, do I see everything I need to see? As they take their deposit, called knowledge, to the bank of godliness to fill up their godly account, come to find out it's completely counterfeit. Because once it's held up to the light of Christ Jesus, it's not real. It's possible that you can walk around puffed up with a sense of godliness based upon a commitment to counterfeit truth. Let me say that again. It is possible that you can walk around puffed up with a sense of godliness based upon a commitment to counterfeit truth. Or, might I say, useless babble. Worthless chatter. But yet all the while parading around that you have knowledge. So the question is, where is true knowledge found? That's a simple answer, God's word. Or like 1 Timothy 6:3 says, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness. What is it producing? Who is it about? Hold it up to the light of Christ. See what's there. You see, that's knowledge, sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, teaching that accords with God. That's knowledge that should be tucked away in our deposit bag that we guard. Because it's of greatest value. Could there not be a greater word for us today? I mean, honestly, isn't God's word super relevant to us today, the church? With so much emphasis on what is true and what is fake, the Christian community. Ooh, I got the deposit bag. It's our time to shine and say, here's what's true. It's in my little bag, and it's precious. But if we are given to pointless chatter, endless controversies, or better phrase, conspiracy theories, you know what we do? We lead people towards greater ungodliness and in the end, condemnation. Perhaps I should put it this way, avoid the noise. Turn off your TV on occasion. Shut off your social media feed. Pick up your Bible to remind yourself of what is actually true. To put yourself back to where true north exists. Avoid all the noise. Perhaps on occasion you should open up the deposit bag and you should assess what is there. Is it useless arguments? Is it a love of controversy? Is it anxiety over a speculation that I have? If we're given to picking fights about useless points, we're not helping the gospel. We're actually detracting from the message of Jesus. Being winsome about the rock-solid truths of Jesus, it puts the emphasis on the gospel message, not irreverent babble or controversies or pointless chatter. Just avoid the noise. Avoid opening up yourself to useless pursuits. Useless arguments. Perhaps it's wise for you to decide right now to tune your ear to God's voice. It's better. Not the worthless chatter that we oftentimes put in our deposit bag and we start to guard. And we notice in us certain tendencies we hadn't seen before, moving further away from godliness. It is wise for us, if we need to make large, sweeping decisions to avoid unhealthy thinking. Perhaps it's also wise for us to make strategic daily decisions to point our life towards Christ Jesus and avoid false knowledge. You may be saying, well, fine, Pastor, but why? Why should I do that? You know why you should do that? Well, it's tucked away right there in our passage. In order to not deviate from the faith. What's at stake? Faithfulness to the faith. The moment we don't guard the good deposit of the gospel and its teachings, we replace it with things that are just worthless, that have no return, that have no work in our lives. You know the end result, the devastating end result is you deviate from the faith. And this is dangerous. So this morning, might I be clear? Guard the deposit Avoid useless teaching to remain faithful. Church, we have been entrusted with the gospel. It's precious. We cling to it, and we avoid unhealthy distractions from it. We have, if you haven't noticed, and we will continue to make strategic decisions to protect it, to hold it close in our life together. Do you know that one of the main reasons that a church kind of fades away? It's when the main thing does not stay the main thing. It's when the makeup of the church does not even know the gospel. This is why we as a church go to great lengths to teach the gospel. I probably have handed out that book, What is the Gospel, 1 million times. We make sure to preach it. We spend time in our prospective members class explaining it. We love the gospel so much that we put it into print. I mean, it's already in print, but we made a little summary on a bookmark. And it goes out and anyone who visits us in a bag, because why? It's the most precious thing to us. And we give it to others. This is why we ask each other what the gospel is. Many of you have participated in a membership talk. It's so much fun. But we talk about the gospel. Why? Because we love it. It's the most precious thing. There's nothing else in our deposit bag. And we're called to guard it. Then we as a church family share how the gospel has impacted us. We all share our testimonies as we join. It is glorious. This is us guarding the deposit. Christian, the promises of the gospel are far greater than anything else. It has, it will always come through. Perhaps you need to be encouraged and prodded in a certain direction this morning, Christian. Don't fear going bankrupt on those other counterfeit promises in order to fill your deposit bag with gospel promises. Don't be scared to go bankrupt on all those other counterfeit promises because they won't come through. To just continually fill your bag with the gospel promises. Guard the truths of God's word fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Don't let other things, false teaching, other people distract from what is ultimately true, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, comma, you need to hear this, which you were the foremost. So in us talking about it, why don't we act like, oh, we've been saved from much? We need to take significant steps towards reading, memorizing, meditating on God's word daily. It seems so simplistic, and I probably say it more often than you care to hear, but it's so crucial. Grab a friend, read God's word together. Non-believer, society would say for you to guard your expressive individualism, expressed by people a lot smarter than me. But in essence, they want you to think and feel that what is inside of you, what you think, what you feel, is actually to be protected, guarded, and expressed. But when you take that to the bank to deposit it, it will always show up as counterfeit. It cannot achieve what it promises. It actually creates greater confusion because there are no two people who arrive at the same expression of individualism. So what do you got to do? Include them all. In that way of thinking, nothing is fixed and chaos is the result. But if we tuck away as what's most precious to us, the truth of Jesus, we all come around something that works. If you want to talk more about what it means to know Christ, certainly find someone afterwards. I would love to chat. But church, might we be clear this morning? Might we be painstakingly clear this morning? Guard the deposit. Avoid useless teaching to remain faithful. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we are grateful for the gospel promises. We're grateful for what Jesus has done in us and is now doing in us and will continue to do through us. The message of Jesus and all of his teachings are overwhelming, and we should do all that we can to protect it, to let it influence us, to depend on it greater than anything else. So, Father, as a church, as individual Christians, might we really evaluate and look at what it is that we're guarding and we're holding so precious to us. Father, if we can be so clear and honest with ourselves and see that it's not the gospel and its teachings, might we empty that and remind ourselves of the truths of Scripture. Father, we are thankful for this fresh and timely reminder. We as a church body will give ourselves consistently to guarding this great and glorious deposit and avoiding things that are just worthless and pointless. Father, we pray if there are some among us who don't know you that perhaps today that they would see that what is being told or what they have been banking on is really insufficient. They might for the first time see that the gospel is far greater and actually able to radically change them and save them. So, Father, thank you for this time together. We ask you would continue to work in our hearts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.